Lord God, Heavenly Father, be with this time. May we focus only on you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. And you're wondering, where is that? That's not on our worship bulletin, so we can't really open up to that. Why did you do that to us? Because the main reason is that I believe the person who put together what's called the lectionary, all going through the Bible in 3 years, and so we read that and we preach on that, I believe he was a man, and he didn't understand what Mother's Day is all about. So I decided to go free text, and so we're going to go off of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. And so today I just want to kind of paraphrase this. It's very important that we kind of take two different looks from this. What I mean is we're going to be taking a look from the view of what would it be like to go through this situation, and what would it be like to do as we're doing, and take a step back and look at it at the bigger picture. And so today I want to take a closer look, talking about a certain man, Elkanah. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli were priests of the Lord. All right, so what's happening is this family is going year by year, and so you think of a pilgrimage year after year. Can you think of one place that your family goes year after year after year after year? And so what they did is they traveled from their home to where all of Israel would worship. And before they would worship at Jerusalem, they would worship kind of in the center of the country. And so everyone would gather. Everyone would gather. So what they're doing is they're going up and they're worshiping. One of the things they would do is they would eat together. And then they would kind of go up, what has God done? What has God done? And so what's happening is in this this family, they have an interesting dilemma. The problem is that in this family, there is one woman who has a lot of children, and there's one person in the story, Hannah, that we're going to focus on. Hannah has no children. And the problem is that there's a family problem. And the family problem is this. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 7. Let's read this together. So it went on year by year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And so the dilemma is that, just like today, as in every culture, if you don't have children, all of a sudden, we deem you not as worthy. And so on this Mother's Day, we take a look at what Hannah was going through. Her dilemma was, not only was she going through not having any kids, but this other person in her family would ridicule her as much as she could. And so when we take a look at the background, is what was happening was, she would receive this, you're worthless. You don't amount to much. What's wrong with you? And so she would have to stay in this family, which day in and day out, this family member would just make her feel like she wasn't worth much. And so interesting enough is we look at the next one is the spouse. And we read in this story that her husband asked her, why don't you eat? And her husband said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not worth more than 10 sons? The problem here is not that he's not a good man. The problem is he's a man. Guys, see, do you hear the chuckling? They get it. They get it. Because there's something that, I'm preaching on this. The problem is I'm preaching on it because I can look at the words, I can decipher what's going on, I can't decipher with the heart. So there's something a little bit missing from this sermon, and so when we take a look at this, this guy's heart was in the right place, trying to console his wife. The problem is he just didn't get it. Is that a problem at home? Do men get it? No. You can say it. It's okay. You can say it out loud. There's a lot of guys fishing right now. We can say that this morning, right? And so, you know, he tried to show love, but the problem is he missed where it was coming from. Whether or not she shared with him, whether or not she looked at what happened in his family and said, you know what, enough is enough, and protected her. We can't say. We don't know. What we do know is that she endured this year after year after year after year, and her heart was broken, and her heart was looking around and saying, okay, everybody else is not like me. Why am I the one that's going through this? And so when we take a look at what's going on in 1 Samuel chapter 1, she looks and says, well, Scripture says that the Lord had closed her womb. The Lord had done this. And so, does anyone else question what God is doing? Is anyone going through life and says, or even reads this thing, and you can look at it and say, well, I know what the result is. But to go along in the story and kind of insert yourself in the story and say, why is God doing this to her? Why doesn't God just come to the rescue? And so I just ask the question of that, God, what are you doing? And the problem is that when we take a look at the story, there's a couple of different perspectives. And if we look at it, as I go along, and we go in verse by verse by verse, and go along and kind of look at her heart and how her heart is breaking year after year, and we say, Lord God, why not now? Why not break this cycle? Why, you could change this in a chain, you know, just snap your fingers. Just snap your fingers. And you could bring this lady's turmoil, her mourning, her depression, and just say, just snap a fingers, Lord God, you could change this. And so the question kind of remains as we're on verse by verse of Lord, why are you doing this? I don't understand, and the problem is that we ask that day in and day out, Lord, why? The problem that we're seeing is that a lot of people, I mean, you want to look up in the stars and oh, wow, a shooting star. That must have been just for me. Oh, Lord God, give me a sign that you're up there. There's trillions of stars, and we want to know if God is up there. And we're looking, Lord God, give me a sign that you're up there. The stars that are burning hydrogen like nothing else are declaring his glory, and we want a sign saying, God, are you up there? We want that shooting star that God can, hey, I'm up here. And so maybe the problem is, on the other hand, of when you look, and does anyone watch a movie or see a TV show? And you are looking at this movie, and it's a two-hour movie, and there's a problem that comes about. And everyone noticed that in American movies, everything works out by the end of the movie. You ride off into the sunset, the gunslinger. He makes sure that all the problems are taken care of. He rides off on his trusty horse, with everything having been accomplished, and right beside him is this fair maiden, and he sweeps her off her feet, and then there you can go to bed knowing that everything has been taken care of. And American cinema is no problems by the end of 2 hours, and you're thinking, okay, Lord, I just spent 2 hours, my problems haven't been fixed. And so I just want to go over What's the whole story? What's the whole story of Hannah and her crying out, literally on her knees, saying, "God, would I need some help here?" She finally is mumbling to herself, and what she's mumbling is, "Lord God, what you give me, I will return to you. What you give me, I will return to you. What you give me is yours." And so finally the priest is sitting there and he says, "Let it be done to you. Whatever you ask that God would give you." And she went away. She said, maybe finally God has answered me. She comes back the next year and she's holding a baby boy, Samuel. Samuel. And after a year, she gives it to the Lord, and Samuel grows up, and he becomes the last priest to hold the office that changes over from what it used to be, the ones that would go from God talking to him and him telling the people what's going on. Finally, he is the one who would anoint the first king, Saul, and the second king, King David. And so you can see that when we look at it and say, okay, we can read this story and we can read all about it. Of course, we know what's happening. We know what's going to happen later is that through her suffering, what she goes through, when we look at it from way up above, we see that the greatest king of all of Israel would be anointed by her son. And if she would just wait just a little bit longer. The problem is that when we insert ourselves in here, it's like the turmoil that we're all going through. We can kind of feel the grip of what she's going through. And we can insert ourselves. And you can go through the Old Testament. And you can change the name. You can change the name. And the circumstances change. What people go through changes. It's just with Hannah, she was begging God, "God, would you please hear me?" And so the one thing that we need to take a look at what is similar in Hannah's life that was similar than everybody else's in the Old Testament. And when we take a look at it, what's similar to our story? And so where is God? Where is God? Is God answering her prayer every time she comes and worships and says, "Lord God, would you please do something about what I'm going through?" And the God says, "Okay, I've got it perfectly mapped out. The problem is that your time and my time are totally different. We're on two different time scales." And so God is begging her to trust him more and more. This is going to work out beautifully. Wait. Your prayer has already been answered. Wait. And so today, in what we're looking at today is there anyone in here who can't say that they're going through a Hannah moment at least one time in their life? That if I took a snapshot of your life, I couldn't put you in the place of Hannah, where you're begging and you're crying out to God, would you please take this away from me now? Because what I'm going through is way too much. And so when we take a look at what Hannah was doing is Hannah had to fully trust in what God was doing would be to God's glory. To God's glory. And so God is saying, okay, I've got a solution for you. Hannah, if you would just take a look at what Samuel was pointing you to, your own son. He's pointing you to a cross, to the deliverance of Israel. And so what great things we can take a look at what Hannah went through, had a time stamp on it. And finally, can you guess what Hannah is taking? Hannah is standing right beside her son right now, worshiping God for everything that God did for her on this planet. And now she can say, "The Lamb of God that was slain is now reigning in my life. And so when we take a look at the whole story, the big picture is what they say. We take a look at what God is doing in her life, and God was bringing her closer and closer and closer and closer to him so that eventually she could stand before him and say, what you did, Lord, is standing right beside me, and to the other we're going to worship you. Lord God, would you take away everything that is hindering, that is getting in the way of who you are in my life? Isn't that the case today? Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, our troubles and our cries for help are very real. That, Lord God, we can see that we are just like those in the Old Testament, Lord, crying out to you, asking you, Lord God, to intervene. Lord God, we understand that you intervene each and every day in our lives. Lord God, sometimes the intervening is, let's just face it, it's different than what we really want. But what we think we need at the time is something we don't see. Lord God, help us each and every day as we take each and every step forward, closer and closer to our final home. Help us understand that, Lord God, what we go through in this life, Lord God, you see from above. Lord God, you are leading and guiding in each and every step. Help us understand that just like Hannah, you knew what would happen next, and you were just giving her the strength to keep going, keep going, keep going. Lord God, help us to keep going. Help us see that there's a reason why we go through things, because we want your story to be our story. We want your vision to be our vision, and that vision includes telling of the precious name of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And help us, even as Samuel did, maybe in declaring that to his own mother, to point to a Messiah. Lord God, help our lives do the same. In your son's name we pray. Amen.